Well, Saints, terror is coming to the United States and also apostate Christianity. It's really all God's plan, but to much of the church, they won't understand it as that. I guess most of the church is planning on flying away before any troubles come here. But there's about to be a rude awakening, you know. Anyway, this revelation was given to Eve Brast. Actually, it's two different dreams that are concerning these things. And this month, these were given on the 23rd and 24th. And Deb Horton also put some notes in this first one, in some I'll share with you. Eve said, "I had a short dream that I was living in a hallway with my dad's family members." And I believe this is speaking about the church. Dad's family members, right? Deb said a hallway is the straight and narrow way in a building. Living in a hallway represents someone who is just a sojourner. Hallways are just for passing through, right? Well, amen. But a lot of Christians don't know that, and they don't act like that, that they're just passing through and that they're citizens of another kingdom. They act more like citizens of this kingdom, and that, of course, is why tribulation is coming. She said the hallway was carpeted with orange, and I believe that represents a warning or danger. It was indoor-outdoor carpeting and had many small walk-in janitor's closets along both sides of the hall. Those who are preserved to clean up the mess afterwards, I believe, is the bride and others. You know, when God shakes the world, people go looking for a Savior. And He's going to have people there ready to give answers for these questions that are in people's minds. And many people are going to be ushered into the kingdom. And many signs and wonders and miracles will confirm the word. Eve went on to say, "My dad and husband were merged into the same body at the entrance of the hallway." That's strange, isn't it? But it's a spiritual type. I believe it's representing Jesus, who is the sower of the seed of the word in our hearts, and everlasting Father, or literally Father of eternity, according to Isaiah 9 and 6. And at the same time, He's the husband to the bride, typed by Eve. In this way, Jesus is both dad and husband, and this text that calls Jesus our spiritual father, He's not the father, but our spiritual father, also points to the birth of the man-child in whom He comes, both in His physical body and His corporate body of David's. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born." We've received this recently, you know, and it's all about a repetition of history, isn't it? Jesus is coming again in a corporate body like He did in His individual body. That was His plan, and He said so. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder." Oh, there is a takeover of our church government from a bunch of apostates, from a bunch of Sauls, to a bunch of Davids. The Sauls are losing their battle with the man of the flesh, the old man of the flesh that rules the promised land. He's losing their battle. And as you know, they died on Mount Gilboa, and David was immediately ushered into the kingdom and anointed, representing a body of people that are coming on the scene. "And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, people recognize that as Jesus. They get confused sometimes when it says Everlasting Father. It actually says Father of Eternity, because when He sows His seed in your heart, that part of you that seed lives in is eternal. "Of the increase of His government and of peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to establish it. Notice it's eternal. So the throne of David has not ceased. It continues to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You betcha. She said, my dad / husband said to me, there is a massive terror event that is sweeping through, and I am moving you, that is the bride, out of the way. Yeah, for the Lord to say this is massive, it must be truly significant. You know, I would say far greater than 9-1-1. And probably coming from the same powers that be, if you get my drift. She said, when I woke up from this dream, I wondered, sweeping through what? The world? The U.S.? The church? I would say that we might say all of the above. If this is exactly what we think it is, what we've been told for a while is coming, this terror event, this new 9-1-1. I then saw in a vision a massive amount of water washing over the ground of the outside of the place that we were in. Now, remember, they were in this hall, right? So it's on the outside. And she said, I'm sure this is a physical warning as well as a spiritual warning. Since it's on the ground outside of our family, our dad's family, right? This represents a flood of destruction coming to the United States and is likely to be spiritual as well as literal. It's also the enemy coming in like a flood, because you know what comes along with this is martial law, right? And after the earthquakes cross the nation, as we've seen in dreams and visions, martial law will capture God's people. That's the plan. She said, then it came rushing down the hallway. Oh, okay, now we're seeing that this part is meaning this judgment will come into the church. So it's a judgment on the world, but it is coming into the church. It's going to be against the church. It's going to be used against the church. And I believe that the church will be brought into loss of political power and much captivity. It will be a sort of a coup against Christianity, our freedom, government, and way of life. The country will swing far to the left because, as you know, in martial law, you don't have the balance of powers anymore. And Jeff Shaw had just sent this when I received this dream, Obadiah 1:15, which he received the same morning. It's a rebuke to the Edomites who hated and fought against their brother Israel, and how God will punish them. And here it is in its context, Obadiah 1:13, enter not into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. A rebuke to the Edomites. Yea, look not thou on their affliction in the day of their calamity, neither lay ye hands on their substance, which of course they have done, in the day of their calamity. And stand thou not in the crossway to cut off those of his that escape, and deliver not up those of his that remain in the day of distress. And then, of course, since this is exactly what has happened, he's commanding a judgment against them in this text. Verse 15, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. What does he mean? The nations came into Edom and judged Edom. Thy dealings shall return upon thy own head. For as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. In other words, he's going to drink of Edom, the destruction of Edom by the nations. Yea, they shall drink and swallow down, and shall be as though they had not been. But in Mount Zion, that is the bride, there shall be those that escape, and it shall be called holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Everything's going to be restored, as Joel said. But this is exactly what her dead husband said to her. I'm moving the bride out of the way. I'm moving you out of the way. They're going to miss out on the judgment that is coming, sweeping across the globe, right? And that's neat, because I do believe we've been told that this is going to bring a revival, and that God's people are going to be restored to all the years that the palm worm, the caterpillar, and the canker worm, the destruction that they brought to God's crop. Everything is going to be restored. Like in the book of Acts, except greater. And we also received this text the morning that we received this dream. It's about the U.S. being raised up by the Lord to punish God's apostate people. Habakkuk 1 and 4. Therefore the Lord, the law is slacked, and justice doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore justice goeth forth perverted. I got a very interesting dream that I'm still looking at. From Eve, about a magnetic pole shift, a spiritual magnetic pole shift. You know how minus becomes plus and plus becomes minus, and the negative had been given the head and the hand for a while, until God decides to rise up and change things. And when this anointing comes, that's exactly what's about to happen. Is God's going to give authority to the positive, the good, against the authority of the negative, which is bad. And things are going to be swapped around. As thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. Right? He goes on to say, behold ye among the nations, and look and wonder marvelously, for I am working a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it were told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans. Well, that's Babylon as a type of the United States. I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, that marcheth through the breadth of the earth, to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Oh, brother, has that been happening? They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceeds from themselves. Yes, it's certainly an unholy and an evil thing that's gone on in the world. Christians are patriotic, and they throw their hand in the deal too, which is very, very foolish of them, because our kingdom is not of this world, and we weren't made to go to war with anybody. Our job is to bring the gospel to them. Their horses also are swifter than leopards, and more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen press proudly on. Yea, their horsemen come from far. They fly as an eagle. I guess that identifies pretty good too, doesn't it? That hasteth to devour. They come, all of them, for violence. Yep, United States has invaded many lands and come for violence. And when they haven't physically gone, they've sent others by stirring up peoples against peoples, and there can be no doubt that God is going to judge this. We were not ordained to go and to cause our enemies to fight with our enemies. We, as Christians, of course, were ordained to bring the Prince of Peace everywhere that we go. We shouldn't join with the world against the world. That's foolishness. And it's totally against the commands of Jesus in the New Testament. The set of their faces is forwards, and they gathered captives as the sand. Well, they're going to be marching across this land pretty soon. That is our own military. And they're going to be gathering captives as the sand. And so, verse 12 goes on to say, "Art not thou from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained him for judgment." That is, the Lord has ordained Babylon, the United States, to bring judgment. "And thou, O rock, hast established him for correction." That's right. He is a rod in the hand of the Lord to bring correction on God's rebellious people. Soon, many of God's people are going to get a revelation that they didn't fly away, and yes, bad things are happening on the earth, and they need a Savior. They need faith. They need the Holy Spirit. They need all these things that they thought they didn't need. And their false leaders will really catch it. Kind of like in China when their false leaders told them they were all going to fly away, nothing bad was going to happen. And oh boy, a lot of those people died because of what they did. "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and that canst not look on perverseness. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously?" Why is it that God is paying attention to or giving power to the beast in the United States against the Christians? "And holdest thy peace when the wicked swalloweth up the man that is more righteous than he?" In other words, God's apostate people. Is he going to hold his peace when they do this? Yes, he is. He's giving them into the hand of the beast, as he's told us many times and in many ways throughout the Scripture. And he's done it historically, time after time after time. And all the time, they feel like they're righteous because they're, you know, standing with their church, so to speak. But their church is not the church. That's the whole problem. It's apostasy, just like every other abomination or denomination throughout history, and even among the Jews, their denominations were all apostate too. And what did God do? Sent the Roman beast in there last to destroy them. Wow. When the vision of what is coming in the dream ended, my dad slash husband pointed to the foremost janitor's closet next to where he stood near the entrance at the right of the hallway. And of course, you know, right is for the sheep, right? At the right of the hallway. And the bride is next to the king at his right hand, exactly like this says. I know you don't normally think about these things when you're sleeping, but it's pretty neat, isn't it? Psalm 45 and 9 says, "King's daughters are among thy honorable women. At thy right hand doth stand the queen in gold of Ophir." Amen. The Lord will direct the paths of his people, as we can see in Psalm 119 and 5, and Psalm 5 and 8, Proverbs 3 and 6, Psalms 32 and 8. That's what Deb says. She said, the Lord's going to take care of them. That's right. Amen. Those that follow the Lord, those that walk as a disciple of Jesus Christ, have nothing to worry about. Amen. "So I went up to where he was and entered the closet." So the bride will be spared the judgment that comes down the hallway that is in the Father's house. And I believe they will be used as janitors to clean up the wrecked lives after the chastening or judgment washes through. What did the Lord say in Isaiah 26 and 20? He said, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee." There it is. Hide thyself for a little moment until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Remember that. The Lord is coming forth out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Seen many, many verses about this, the Lord's coming to do this job. To punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. I tell you, we're about to see a lot of dead people in a very short time. Not only this, but behind that is coming a world war. The second seal, the first seal being, of course, the man-child coming, Christ in his first fruits body of people called the man-child. And the next seal is a world war. So, and this comes before that. This is the earthquake we see in Revelation 8 just before the tribulation starts. And it's a corporate earthquake, too. I believe it's going to be a world earthquake. I believe the whole world is going to shake with this one. I know this has happened before. In recent times, we've had some big earthquakes that have shaken, literally shaken the whole earth. They've been felt over the whole earth, not by man, but by seismometers, right? And that's pretty interesting. Now, this one may be felt all over the earth. And she was talking about this closet, and she said it had a small bed like a twin-sized cot and a sink and some other janitor supplies in it. And Deb said janitor's closets could be 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Do you know that the bride and the man-child are being raised up to bring cleansing to the church, to the corporate body? And I know that the wicked world uses catastrophes to their advantage to do whatever they want to do, pass whatever laws they want to pass, and such things as that. Take advantage of the Christians through martial law and whatever, all that. But God is going to take advantage of this too. He's going to change the government, just like the wicked world is going to change the government, and the Christians are going to lose their part in it. He's going to change the government, like Isaiah 9:6 says. He's going to change the government during this shaking that's coming. And that's a good thing. Because soon people are going to realize that their apostate leadership have just been playing church and haven't been preparing them for these terrible things that are coming upon the world. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a hemorrhage of people coming out from among them and being separate, saith the Lord. Good things are going to happen for God's people. Freedom, even though they might be in concentration camps, there's going to be a spiritual freedom when they realize they've been lied to and they begin to seek the Lord for themselves. Wow. Can you imagine? The supplies in the closet could be, she says, Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You know where heavenly places are? Abiding in Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing is provided when you abide in Him. First of all, through faith, and second of all, through obedience. Amen. He told me to gather all my belongings and move into the closet. Then three cardboard boxes appeared in his hands. And I said, I don't have anything but those three empty boxes. I've given all that I have to my family members. Of course, that's the church, right? The bride has forsaken ownership of all for the sake of God's family. And we're commanded that, to renounce everything we have, or we cannot be Jesus' disciple. We're commanded that by Him. The bride, of course, is an obedient subject of the Lord. That's what makes her so beautiful. The world won't do this. The worldly church won't do this. They would rather, you know, hold to their church teachings and continue to be owners of what they're only stewards of. And anyway, well, the Lord smiled at that. He smiled and said, "That's okay. Yeah, it is." Then he took a box cutter out of his right pocket, like he was all ready for this. He cut the box tape on the bottom of the boxes so that they laid flat, and told his youngest brother, Pat. Now, we don't know the Lord's got a youngest brother, but notice she said, "My dad's youngest brother's name is Pat, whose name means nobleman." So, he told this nobleman to take the boxes and lay them down on the floor of my closet. So they were like a sort of a rug or a mat. And Deb said she thought this meant death to self of the mind, the will, and the emotions. I believe that the foundation, this rug or mat, I believe that the foundation of the bride is discipleship. Meaning they are those who have forsaken all to be disciples of Jesus, just as He commanded in Luke 14 and 33. "So therefore, whosoever he be of you that renounceth not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." And Eve gives Matthew 19 and 29, "And every one that hath left houses or brethren or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life." You know, a lot of families are kick against their disciples who follow the Lord. And of course, families like people, you know, to do what they want them to do. They have their expectations, and they say they're their family. They're supposed to take care of them. But I tell you what, God has got disciples that are going to go forth. They're going to obey the Lord. And when they do, God is going to take care of their families. Those who deny the Lord and hold to their families, they're going to find some bad things happening. Number one, they might lose some of their family. Number two, they're going to miss out on what they were called to do for the kingdom. But the key here is "for my name's sake." There's lots of people that run out there to do things and they call it for the Lord, but it's really for them and for their ego. And there's no reward for that. You have to do these things in the Lord only. And Eve gave her idea of the meaning of the mat, and that it could be that being obedient to God's word causes us to feel walked on, quote, unquote, as if our sacrifice of obedience is being trampled, or as if it's a loss. You know, Jesus said in Luke 6, 27 through 36, "But I say unto you that here, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. To him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And from him that taketh away thy cloak, withhold not thy coat also." Sounds like some people say, "I don't think God called me to be a doormat." You've heard that saying? Well, that's not quite true. The Lord, it appears to the world like we are being a doormat when we resist not him that's evil, and we love our enemies, and we do these things. They just don't believe in that. They believe we should stand up for ourselves and fight for ourselves and fight for our nation and blah, 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 blah. All the things that they believe which don't amount to a hill of beans, actually, in the kingdom. So he said, give to everyone that asketh of thee. And that's simply because my God shall supply your every need according to his riches and glory, you know. He's not going to let you do without, saints. That's what the life of faith is all about, right? Give to everyone that asketh thee. Of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. You know, when somebody takes your goods, you can say, hey, are you going to bring that back? They say, no. Well, then you just wash your hands of it. Right? They steal from you, as they do. I tell you, the faction's the worst I've ever seen about that. They immediately get a spirit of theft on them. They start stealing from you. I've seen it over and over and over. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. The golden rule, right? They call it the golden rule. As you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. And if you love them that love you, what thank have you? Well, lots of people do that. The world does that, and the world of church does that. But he said even sinners love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive again as much. But love your enemies and do them good and lend, never despairing. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be sons of the Most High. For he is kind towards the unthankful and the evil. You know, it's a great advantage to be the sons of the Most High. The sons, the whole creation, is waiting for the manifestation of sons in order that the creation itself would be delivered from the bondage of corruption, Paul said in Romans 8. So the whole purpose of this creation and its dirt is to give life to the seed. And once God gets through with that, well, the creation has no more need to be, not in its unregenerate state. And God brings massive judgment on it in the great and terrible day of the Lord. But the sons and daughters are going to escape this thing. There is no reason for the sons. I'm not talking about the children or the servants, because the Bible talks about the children are servants. But we're here to manifest our sonship, which is Christlikeness. And that sonship, of course, is when you arrive at that, there's no reason for crucifixion. You know, Jesus was crucified in order to take judgment upon himself, curses upon himself, etc., etc. Now, he's going to prove this. Be ye merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And Paul said in Philippians 3 and 8, yea, verily, I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ. People wonder why I let people just steal from me when they've had an opportunity. The factious have done that over and over, because it don't mean anything. It's so easy when you walk with the Lord to receive his preparation, his supply. Some of y'all remember the dream that I had years ago, not many years ago, of the Father giving me $1 billion to supply the needs of his saints in the refuge. And I know it's coming. I know it's coming. I can even see how it might happen, you know, but you don't have to see that. But I know it's coming, and I know God is going to supply the needs of a lot of people while they study the Word of God and get ready to bring the gospel to the world. Praise God. those who have sacrificed their life will be promoted. And, you know, adding the very next verse to Eve's text above, we see that the last will be first. That is Matthew 19 and 29. And everyone that hath left houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit eternal life. See, those that deny the Lord, their life, you were bought with a price. They're not promised eternal life. The next verse says, but many shall be last that are first, and first that are last. Well, that's a kind of a pole shift, don't you think? A magnetic pole shift, geomagnetic pole shift. Negative becomes plus, and plus becomes negative. And somebody else is on top. Praise God. She said on a side note, Noah's dad, Robert, works for a government contracted private security firm and has informed us that his boss told him they are expecting something to happen and that he would be deployed along with many other company employees down to the border of Texas for at least the next 4 months. That's very interesting. So, for one thing, they want to seal up the border. They haven't been wanting to do that lately, but for some reason, it looks like they're going to try to do that. Now, it's possible they're even going down there to put down an uprising. Who knows? So, they can surprise us. So, let me point something else out to you here. This other dream we called Supplanters Chastened. And it was given to Eve on the 23rd of this month of July. She had a dream where David was broadcasting a Bible study, sitting at a desk with a microphone in the very front room of a small, narrow, three-room building. In the room behind him was a Sunday school class with children listening to the Bible study. And I'm sure this is spiritual children, and I'm also sure that this is the spiritual Davids that is being spoken about here, because God is not doing anything in just one place nowadays. When he fulfills Scripture, it's going to be worldwide. Anyway, beyond that middle room was a large room, which to us would be greater UBM, with nothing but a king-size bed that I was resting in, laying on my right side. So here's the bride speaking, resting, you know, in greater UBM. And, of course, we know that the bride is not over only in our local UBM, but in greater UBM. It's the people who have, you know, served the Lord with all their heart. They love Him. They run after Him. And they keep His commandments. And they rest from their own works. You know, the Sabbath was an eternal command. And although it's not the same in the New Testament as it was in the Old Testament, and some people haven't found that out, they're still caught up in their own works while they think they're keeping the Sabbath by keeping their flesh still. But now God commands that we cease from our own works all the time, every day. The New Testament word for Sabbath, where he speaks about the rest in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, sabbatismos, means resting all the time, not just one day. And this king-size bed means it's a rest for a corporate body. It's a bunch of people that the bride is, you know. She says, as David was preaching in his normal way, Suddenly the Holy Spirit fell on him, and he started preaching a fiery word that convicted many listeners to repentance. Well, whether this is that anointing that's coming upon the Davids, I don't know. It could even come before that, who knows? But it is some kind of an unusual anointing that it brings forth a word that should be bringing people to repentance. And she said, everything he said was like a sword cutting right through to the very heart of the listeners. It gave me goosebumps laying in the bed listening to the words he was saying. Well, this certain anointed word is a signal of following judgment on those who don't quickly repent. The reason I know that is because of what the dream goes on to say. She said, then a four-year-old girl, four could mean judgment here, which is, of course, immaturity, a four-year-old girl with red, which is represents submitted to sin, according to Isaiah 1 and 18 and 1 Corinthians 11, curly hair, red curly hair, which means under confusion. You know, curls go every which way, you know. Hair is what we submit as a sign of our submission to the Lord. And her name was Jamie. And she mocked David in the Sunday school room in the hearing of the other children during the broadcast. So in the larger room out there, in larger UBM, there are people, of course, that are mocking what's being said here. We know, we have absolute proof of the fact that some of the factious people actually listen in, but the word really doesn't do them any good because of the spirits that are in their heart. And but they listen in and report to others, and we know all about that. We recently received a dream where a man and his wife were named in the dream, actually, who were in the faction. But they were depicted in the dream as factious, red, curly-haired girls. But in this case, we see below that Jamie represents a corporate body of these people who attack the David Man-Child Company. And we've also received many parables from the Lord concerning this, including parables in the Scriptures, like Revelation chapter 12, where the dragon was seeking to devour the man-child before going into the wilderness. And then the dragon was there in the wilderness to seek to devour the woman, you know. So anyway, she said David was very grieved when he heard her mock him and went to consult her father, who we believe is the father, about what should be done. And her father, when he heard this, told him, give her a spanking, because she's old enough to know better. Give her a spanking. Well, this is obviously meaning that what is being done is a willful disobedience that calls for judgment from God, just like Hebrews 10, 25 and 26 says, right? If we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversaries. Amen? That the Davids will do this is scriptural, because God says that those that rise up to judge His servants will fall and be condemned by the very servants that they condemn. For instance, Isaiah 54 and 15 says, behold, they may gather together, but not by me, in other words, by the devil, and whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall because of thee. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the fire of the coals, and bringeth forth a weapon for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. So the Lord is not saying that it's not ultimately him that's behind everything, but he is saying that it's the devil that's doing, raising up this group of people against his servants. He goes on to say in verse 17, no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. In other words, it won't prosper for the wicked. It will prosper for the good of his people. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Listen to that. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. So it's quite scriptural that the Davids, who have been persecuted and hated and spoken against, will be bringing these judgments. And we also know that the man-child ministry is going to bring these judgments upon the wicked. The White Horse Rider, which a lot of people don't know, which is very easily proven in Scripture. And if you go to Hidden Manna for the End Times, our book, you'll see it very clearly in there, that the White Horse Rider is not just Jesus and not the devil at all. All the other riders are riding a horse that truthfully predicts who these people are and what they're going to do. And it's no different from the white horse. The white horse is talking about flesh that is under submission to righteousness. And the white horse rider is bringing judgment upon the world, just like Moses, the man-child, brought judgment upon Egypt. And that's the first seal judgment, is that God is going to give authority and anointing to his man-child ministry to bring judgment in the earth, just like it was with Moses. And when he spoke judgments, they happened. And when the man-child speaks judgments in the future, they will happen. When the man-child raises up the two witnesses, just like Jesus, the man-child raised up the two witnesses to go forth two by two, those two witnesses are going to go forth and bring judgment too. It's just going to be like an extension of the man-child ministry, because that ministry is going to be in the two-witness ministry. Just as the Lord Jesus said, the words that he speaks are spirit and they are life. And they went into his corporate two-witness body. They went forth two by two in every place that he was going to come. That corporate two-witness body went forth and did what he did. So this is coming. The biggest shaking that's coming to the earth, folks, in the days to come is going to be spoken right out of the mouth of his servants, including this judgment of the earthquakes. It's coming right out of the mouth of his servants. He doesn't do anything but what he doesn't first show his servants, the prophets, right? So praise be to God. And it goes on to say, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Now, he doesn't use that word lightly like a lot of people do. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and their righteousness, which is of me, saith the Lord. You know, when God calls a people righteous, because they're covered and washed in the blood, and the wicked rise up because of jealousy, because of factious spirits, because of witchcraft spirits, and rail against them, doesn't matter whether it's the man-child or it's the bride. When they do this, they're bringing judgment on them. God's merciful. He doesn't always bring it right away, but we can see it's already brought. It's already brought in the mind. And it's already brought in the soul. It's already manifested in that way. And in physical judgments, we can see it's already happened. But it ain't nothing like it's going to happen. This is the heritage. That is, those who are being condemned will bring judgment upon the very people that condemn them. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness which is of me, saith the Lord. He then took her by the hand back into the back room. You heard mom and dads do that, right, once in a while? And that's because they don't want everybody else to hear the squealing, right? And sat down on the foot of the king-sized bed that I was resting on, with my eyes closed, seeing all these things in a vision. And he was very sorrowful to have to give her a spanking. He took both of her little hands in his, because she was fearful of the spanking that she was about to get. A neat description, right? Makes you kind of think about dads as parents and taking care of them children when they get out of line. The large plastic paddle that my husband Eddie uses for spanking our sons appeared on his left on the bed next to where he was sitting. David explained to her why she was wrong and that she knew better, and that is why her father wished him to give her a spanking. Notice this is, you know, the spankings come from the Lord, but he uses spiritual parents on the earth to do that. And, you know, Paul called himself a spiritual parent. He said, "You have not many fathers, but I begat you through the gospel." So he was a dad, and he was to bring spankings too, and he did quite a bit of that, you know. David was very gentle and kind in his tone with her. And she did a little research on this name, Jamie. It's a diminutive of James, meaning supplant or replace, which is what the spirits have done in the life of their victims. They have replaced themselves as God over their victims. They're very angry, they're very critical, they're very lying and slanderous and stealing and on and on. And this spirit, these spirits that come in to replace their God, the Word of God, the teachings that people have received, and throw them all out, basically, and take over. They're a supplanter or a replacement. And it's a variant of Jacob, derived from Latin Jacobus. Other origins for the name Jamie include English, Israeli, Scottish, Hebrew, etc. And the name Jamie is a unisex name and can be used for a male or female. And so Eve said, so this red curly-headed girl could represent a group of males and females, since this name is unisex. Amen. That's exactly what this represents. It could be a corporate body of supplanters or factious people. I agree totally. That's what it means. And because we've had the red-headed girl in other dreams and found out what it was, you know. Father is telling David to hand them over to the tormentors for the destruction of their flesh, that their spirits, that their souls could be saved. Well, amen. 1 Corinthians 5 and 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So, if you did that on your own, would it work? No. She said, that is why her father wished him to give her a spanking. See, the one thing about those that follow the Lord and are servants of the Lord and are disciples of Jesus Christ is they don't do their own will. They are there to do the will of the Father. The Bible says, by the way, saints, that the curse that is causeless alighteth not. I've had people who were factious tell me, you sent a curse to me. Well, first of all, they were telling on themselves because judgment had come upon them for what they were doing. And I always told them, I says, the curse that is causeless alighteth not. Even if I hadn't done anything but God sent a curse on them and they told on themselves, The judgment came for a reason. And it can't come unless the Father has a reason to bring judgment. It's not going to happen. So, if they say, well, you turned me over to the devil. This happened to me. Well, I'll tell you what. Then if I did it and it happened, then guess who did it? God did. All right? Now, I haven't done anything in this regard. And so, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I don't want to do anything the Lord tells me to do. You know, David in this text, he didn't want to do this at all. So, Eve said, Father reminded me of the verses he gave me the other day when I asked what was on his heart now. So she asked the Lord what was on his heart now. And amazingly, we received the same word this morning. She said, my finger was on Isaiah 42 and 14. But here is the text. Isaiah 42 and 13. The Lord will go forth as a mighty man. He will stir up his zeal like a man of war. He will cry, yea, he will shout aloud. He will do mightily against his enemies. Well, tremble, you enemies of the Lord out there, you who have usurped and supplanted him in the lives of his people, tremble. Verse 14, I have long time holding my peace. What is he talking about? While the wicked persecuted the righteous. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry out like a travailing woman. I will gasp and pant together. What is the woman travailing with? The man-child. I will lay waste mountains and hills. Well, there it is. The same answer we've been getting for a long time. The earthquakes are coming to divide the United States and bring judgment, actually, around the world. And dry up all their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. Well, this points to water in places it's never been and dry ground in places where it's never been. It sounds like fault line damage that we have seen in dreams concerning New York, New Madrid, the Great Lakes, East Tennessee, California, etc. Sounds very much like that. Anyway, this text goes on to say, and I will bring the blind by a way that they know not, in paths that they know not will I lead them. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. In other words, he's going to lead his people into the wilderness. That's what all this is getting prepared for. Is to make a place in the wilderness. And believe you me, folks, this shaking is going to do that. We've been told about it. We know it. These things will I do, and I will not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be utterly put to shame that trust in graven images. This is people who have turned to idolatry. They have a different god. You know, the gods that the pagans bow down to are demons, the Bible says, Paul said. And those who turn away from the true God to their Baal, they're just idolaters. And that's going to bring judgment. That say unto molten images, ye are our gods. That's actually the word Elohim. That's the same name used for our God, Elohim. They say that their man-made God is the true God, the one that brought them up out of the land of Egypt. It's happening today, folks. There is a great falling away happening not only these crazy movements that we've been seeing here recently, the false revival movement, and then this faction movement that's following it, but also many other kinds of holes that God's people are snared in, as the Bible says. They got a false Jesus that favors their sin, and they're all going to be put to shame. He said they'll be turned back, they shall be utterly put to shame. I asked the Father for a verse concerning if David would do this. She just wanted a confirmation, I reckon. She said, "You're not going to believe this, but I know you will." And she got a smiley face there. The verse my finger fell on when I flipped my Bible open and put my finger down was Isaiah 42:15. Sound familiar? It's the one I just read to you above, which is the verse that follows the original verse 14 that I received. "I will lay waste mountains and hills, and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and will dry up the pools." There it is again. Now, do you believe that's an accident? That's a supernatural God answering and confirming very solidly. This is a big Bible, folks. Big Bible. How can you come up with the same word? And this, of course, sounds like the dream that we just read, terror coming to the United States and Christianity. Apostate Christianity above, right? Very interesting. It looks like the judgments on the apostate Christians will come on the supplanters. I mean, you know, God can just show you so many parallels saying the same thing. And this is going to happen, according to this text of the stream, whenever a certain anointed word goes forth against them. That's the key in this parable of when this is going to start. You know, in the last several weeks, we have received in our morning prayer meetings, this is no joke, I'm telling you the absolute truth, in the last several weeks, you know, when we come together, let me tell you, when we come together in the morning, we pray, we ask the Lord to give us a word, and then He gives us a word by faith and by random, and you'd be shocked at how many total stories that the Lord tells us, all of them fit together perfectly and beautifully, you know. And in the last several weeks, we've gotten words that are all in agreement with this. The Lord will go forth as a mighty man. He's going forth to judge His enemies, just like Isaiah 42 that she received twice here. Okay? And we also have received. So, it looks like the judgments on the apostate Christians will come on the supplanters whenever this certain word goes forth. And in the last several weeks, we've received a bunch of words. I'm going to share some of them with you. They're amazing. They were all received at random by faith. And it's all concerning the coming of the Lord. As you know, He's coming in His man-child. He's coming in that anointing. He will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. And He's coming to judge the U.S. and the factious through earthquakes. That's going to be one thing that's going to bring judgment. And that's just one of many. But if you did a search and picked them out, you could not have done a better job than what the Lord has done by faith in the last several weeks. Some we have received multiple times. So let me just share a few of these with you. It's kind of shocking. Isaiah 29:5. "But the multitude of thy foes shall be like the small dust." He's talking to Zion here. "And the multitude of the terrible ones as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be in an instant suddenly. Well, you know, we've received this many times when asking about the faction, so we know it's applied to that. She shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, with earthquake, and great noise, and whirlwind, and tempest, and the flame of a devouring fire. You know, there's going to be fire in these cracks, folks. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, which is the Lion of God, and a little further down in the text he calls them Zion, even all that fight against her and her stronghold and that distress her shall be as a dream, as a vision of the night. In other words, it's just going to pass away, right? Here's another one that we received just recently. Joel 3 and 16. The Lord will roar from Zion. Now, who's in Zion? Zion is the bride. It is spiritual, heavenly Jerusalem that Paul spoke about that they came to 2,000 years ago. The Lord will roar from Zion. That is, of course, the bride and the man-child. And utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. There it is. The heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be a refuge unto his people and a stronghold to the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. See, people are going to get a revelation when this actually happens, that the Lord is speaking through his people. Then shall Jerusalem be holy. Yep, because it's been sanctified of those people that do not belong there. And there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Well, what kind of Jerusalem could it be that no strangers shall pass through her anymore? It's spiritual Jerusalem. There's strangers all in Jerusalem over there. They're strangers to God. They're strangers to God's people. They spit on the name of Jesus, etc., etc. No, it's not physical Jerusalem. It's spiritual Jerusalem. It is the Ezekiel temple that God is putting together. By the way, that temple, they will never put that Ezekiel temple together because it says very plainly that no one would enter into that except those who are circumcised in heart. Who is that? That is the church. And it's not just what we loosely call the church. It's the real church, the one who have come out from among them and been separate. So you see, that temple is a spiritual temple too. Because as soon as Jews walk into any temple that they build over there in the Middle East, you're going to know it's not Ezekiel's temple, because you must be born from above to enter into this heavenly New Jerusalem temple, which is being born from above, as the scripture says. No strangers pass through her anymore. Isn't that awesome? Here it is again in another text that the Lord gave us the same way. Micah 1 and 3, for behold, the Lord cometh. How come in every one of these cases it's that way? The Lord cometh forth. Amazing, astounding, out of his place. And we just read the one where he comes out of Zion. And will come down. Will come down. We've been telling you about this coming, and here's a finger that landed on it, right? And tread upon the high places of the earth. What is that? The mountains, right? And the mountains shall be melted under him. You see that? What do you think that is? Why are there so many volcanic eruptions happening or getting ready to happen and earthquakes, which cooperate with volcanic eruptions, all over the earth, multiplied many times from just a few years ago. Why do you think that's happening? The Lord is giving us a sign here. The mountains shall be melted under him. The valleys shall be cleft. Earthquakes. Can be no doubt about that. As wax before the fire, as waters that are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Jacob is all this. In other words, Jacob, the old name for the Israel, is all this. By the way, there's the word supplanter right there. And for the sins of the house of Israel, all this is happening because of that. This judgment, which he tells us is earthquakes over and over, shaking of the mountains, air, everything, is because of the rebellion of Israel. And here it is again, Isaiah 64 and 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. Why are we getting the same thing over and over? Do you think that's God? Well, if you don't think it's God, then you don't believe in a sovereign God. That the mountains might quake at my presence. Astounding. When he comes, he's going to shake. How is he coming? He's already told us. He's coming in his people, Christ in you, the hope of glory. His first fruits are going to manifest their Christ anointing. Christos, anointed, right? And verse 2, as when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. Somebody sent me a little video clip of Old Faithful. There were people gathering around it, and suddenly it had a rather large explosion of steam out of it. It was very unusual. And they showed a clip of it happening several times, and the people would gather around it, and it would blow up like that, and they'd take off running. Then they get curious again, come back around, and it did it again, you know. It's amazing. Something's happening. Something very unusual is happening beneath the earth of Yellowstone. It is a super volcano. It could bring America down to third world nation status in a hurry. And it's acting up. The ground is pushing up. There's obviously a much bigger magma chamber underneath it, twice as big as what they thought it was after they did their thermal imaging. It's twice as big as what they thought it was. And it could go at any time. All right. And he said that the nations may tremble at thy presence. We're receiving that the Lord is coming, and he's going to shake everything that can be shaken. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for. Do you think anybody's really expecting this? This shaking that he said he was going to do? Shake the heavens and the earth? He's talking about the whole earth. Thou camest down. Wow. Thou camest down. The shaking happened when the Lord came down. The mountains quaked at thy presence. See, we're getting it over and over here. For from of old, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen a God besides thee, who worketh for him that waiteth for him. Now, you know what, saints? The Lord is going to work for those who have waited patiently while being crucified by the wicked. You know what happened all through the Bible. How that anybody that served the Lord was persecuted and hated and spoken against by God's people. The good people never wasted a lot of time doing such things as that. They had more important things to do, to serve the Lord, to share His word, etc., etc. They had more important things to do. But the wicked, since they don't ever do anything constructive, since they are obviously working for the devil, go out there to do such things. So they're identifying themselves. Some more. Psalm 114 and 7. We received all these in the same way, supernaturally, by faith from God. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water. There's that water in places where you would never expect it to come from, but it will. The flint into fountains of water. There's water going to gush out of rocks. We got prophecies about it happening around here. You know, this whole part of Tennessee actually is nothing but rock. Thousands of feet of it. With fault lines cracking through it in certain places to serve the Lord. Where do you think rock moves at? Usually it moves where it's already cracked, you know. Obviously, God can make new cracks, but He also warns us with the old cracks and where they are and what they're going to do, right? Another one we receive, Psalm 68 and 8. The earth trembled. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Well, one thing we know... When the Lord comes, not in the way that people think, because He didn't come last time that way either. They just want Him to come and get us out of here. We don't want to see any problems whatsoever, but we just want to do our own thing, and we want to have church and continue on being pagans. But the Lord is not going to permit it. He is coming. The Bible says He's coming twice, whether you can believe it or not. He's coming first as an epiphany, a shining forth from His people. And He's coming second as a parousia, that is His personal coming. And the reason He's coming in that order is because He has to come in His people or He can't come for His people. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if a lot of Christians in the state that they're in now entered into it. It wouldn't be heaven. You know it, and I know it, and God knows it. That's why He has to come in His people. And before He can come in His people, He has to restore the fear of the Lord. Because the way God comes in His people is because His word is sown in their heart, just like the parable of the sower. And when you find a good heart, good ground, it brings forth the fruit of Jesus Christ, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And even the people that say, oh, that's not talking about that kind of fruit, David. That's talking about winning souls. But they're not winning souls. How many people out there you know that believe that kind of doctrine are out there saving souls? No, they're not doing it. Not 30, not 60, and not 100. They're not doing it. So they're just as lost as they can be if their doctrine is correct. But the truth is, it's talking about every servant, when he is perfected, shall be as his master. That's what Jesus said. Perfection is Christ-likeness. It's walking as he walked. Let everyone that says they abide in him walk as he walked. They are not reading the Scriptures. They don't even want to see the Scriptures. They want to live in the world, in the way of the world. And so the Lord is coming to shake the earth and restore the fear of the Lord to His people. Even some of them in concentration camps are going to be looking up to God. And it's about time. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. You see, it says the earth trembled and the heavens also dropped rain. What rain is that that we keep hearing about in here too? It's that latter rain that's coming. And actually, it's the former rain that's coming too. Like Joel said, the former rain and the latter rain are coming because most people haven't received the former rain. They've rebelled against God's word and not obeyed what He commanded to be filled with His Spirit. They are too busy with other things. Yon Sinai trembled, there it is again, at the presence of God. He keeps on saying the same thing. At the presence of the God of Israel, Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain. Yeehaw! We're looking forward to that, aren't we? We love to see the Holy Spirit poured forth because it's so easy for people to walk in power and the love of Christ and discernment and wisdom and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are really going to be greatly needed in the time to come. Not only needed by you to guide you through this desolate wilderness where the world hates you, but also for those that are in sickness and need and troubles and so on and so forth. God's got answers for all that. It's Jesus Christ. When you read about the gifts, who do you see there? You see the ministry of Jesus. That's what He wants for His church. His same ministry spread throughout His church by giving gifts to several, even as He will. Severally, even as He wills, right? Amen. So pray for the rain in the time of the latter rain, the Bible says, right? God did send a plentiful rain. Thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. You know, there's a lot of weary people of God out there. But He said, this is the refreshing, but they would not hear. This is the rest. This is the refreshing, but they would not hear. They didn't hear in Jesus' day, and they're not hearing in our day, and they haven't been hearing for the last 2,000 years. This is the rest. This is the refreshing. So how is He going to confirm His inheritance when it was weary? He just told you. He's going to pour out the Holy Spirit. And for those that rebel against it, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their people, who were, by the way, God's people, and, by the way, history always repeats, so there's a lot of people that are called God's people that are going to refuse this movement. Oh, they might not have refused the false revival movement. They might not have refused the faction movement, but they'll refuse this movement. A lot of them. And there will be a great falling away. Because this you need for life. Remember, when Moses brought the people through the Passover, there was a great judgment just before going into the wilderness of many of the Egyptians, the people of the world. The Passover was, of course, that the true saints of God lived through that and went into the wilderness. So here we got something coming, folks. Something's coming. Before the wilderness, something's coming. But when they went into the wilderness, what happened? According to Paul, they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. Of course, baptism in the sea put away their old man, the Egyptian. Baptism in the cloud represents the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they, where did they get it? Right at the beginning of the wilderness. What did they need it for? The wilderness. Saints, get ready. Get ready. You need this. You need it now. You need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit now. There's no need in waiting. People all over the world who are seeking God to be filled with the Holy Spirit are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Is He going to pour it out? Yep, He's going to pour it out on a lot of people. It's going to be a sovereign move of God, like Pentecost was. There will be a sovereign move of God to pour out His Spirit so easily and so quickly on many people because He knows they need the Holy Spirit to live through this time and prosper and grow in their 30, 60, 100-fold fruit of Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit. And Psalm 60:2, another verse that we've received, Thou hast made the land to tremble. Thou hast rent it. Uh-oh. We got a serious rending of this land that's coming. And it's not just America, but in America, we know many people have had the same vision about the ripping of this country in half. And from the Great Lakes on down, and pouring out of the Great Lakes. I personally think this may happen twice, just looking at the texts of many dreams and in the scriptures. I think it could happen twice. I think it could happen at the beginning of the tribulation period and at the end of the tribulation period, when once again America is out there trying to take Israel's land away. I mean, meaning it could happen worse there. So that's just a personal opinion. I'm just from examining the scriptures and the word. We'll find out. The Lord will show us the truth soon enough. Thou hast made the land to tremble. Thou hast rent it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. It shaketh. Yep, I suppose there's a lot of people going to be crying out to put America back together. Kind of reminds you of Humpty Dumpty falling off the wall, right? Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of staggering. Did you know that the earth itself is going to stagger to and fro like a drunken man? Is that what he's talking about here? Yep, I think so. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. You know what? The people that fear the Lord are telling people, watch out, the Lord is going to judge. Pay attention. You can see it on the horizon. You know the Lord's going to judge. And you know what? The Lord is going to confirm their words. So that the other people will say, "Ah, huh, they told us that. Those crazies, they told us that." It's like giving them a banner. I have people tell me the same thing. You told us that was going to happen. Yeah, that's right. But I didn't get it from myself. That it may be displayed because of the truth. God's going to confirm His word with signs and wonders following. Then all the wicked who have spoken against the righteous who have spoken that word are going to be shamed. That thy beloved may be delivered. You see, the Lord is coming not just to bring a shaking and a destruction upon the wicked. He's coming to deliver His beloved, His bride. Wow. Yeah. You remember the Sennacherib scenario when the armies were, and we got this for the factious many times. People have asked about that, and they got that same scenario. It's just many places in the Bible. And they gathered around Jerusalem to torment Jerusalem and to rail and to slander them over the wall and to come against Hezekiah, you know. And guess what? The Lord smote them 185,000 of them, and Jerusalem was spared. The bride was spared. Save with thy right hand and answer us. And the Lord is going to do that. Those blessed people who wait on the Lord. God hath spoken in His holiness. I will exalt. I will divide Shechem. What does that mean? Well, you remember the story of Shechem, don't you? The men of Shechem aligned themselves with Abimelech, which is a type of the beast, to kill the 70 sons of Gideon, the man-child. Remember Jesus, the man-child, sent out the 70? It's a parallel, obviously. So these were traitors. They were factious people who wanted to take the kingdom by destroying the man-child company. And, of course, God then destroyed them by bringing division between Shechem, the men of Shechem, and Abimelech. And they destroyed each other. This is what's going to happen. So, when the earthquakes come, also, something else is going to come. I'm going to divide Shechem. And I got to tell you, folks, we've had dreams and visions about it. The people that are guilty, you know, like the little curly-headed girl, you know, they're, because they know better, they're going to be judged. And I got to tell you how it's going to work out. They're going to fight with one another. Between husbands and wives are going to be divided. Many husbands and wives are going to be divided. And people who have joined together are going to be divided, just like the men of Shechem and Abimelech. And he goes on to say, and meet out the valley of Succoth. Another one we received is 1 Samuel 14:14. As you remember, Jonathan and his armor bearer, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, the Lord isn't, you know, constrained to save by many or by few. So he made this plan. We'll show ourselves to the Philistines over there and we'll see what sign they give us as to whether we're going to go down unto them in the power of God or whether we'll wait here. And they got the sign to go. And the Lord showed that He didn't need a bunch of people to conquer a large apostate invading beast army, right? And 14:14 says, and that first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men. Pretty good trick for the armor bearer, for Jonathan. And it goes on to say that within it were a half a furrow's length in an acre of land. And guess what happened? You know, when this small company stood up against the beast army, and the small company would have to be the bride and the man-child, obviously, because that's what they came up against, Zion, right? And there was a trembling in the camp. Oh, God shook them. There was a trembling in the camp, in the field. The field is the world, so we can pay attention to that. And among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled. And the earth quaked. So there was an exceeding great trembling. Well, exceeding great trembling. Let's see. Where did we hear about that? There's one coming. He's going to shake everything that can be shaken. Yet once more will I shake the heavens and the earth, he said. Once more. That, obviously, that time is coming upon us. an exceeding great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul of Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. They went hither and thither. That means this way and that away, in old King James-y type English, right? Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now, and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor-bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahijah, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was there at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass that while Saul talked unto the priest, that the tumult that was in the camp of the Philistines went on and increased. So the beast, the old man that was coming against the people of God, the city of God, were being shaken. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thy hand. And I think he was talking about pulling out a lot. Withdraw thy hand, the stones, right? And Saul and all the people that were with him were gathered together and came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. They came to the battle, but they were killing each other off. And there was a very great discomfiture. Now, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines as before time, because there is some people that are God's people that are among the attackers, that went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with their true brothers, the Israelites, that were with Saul and Jonathan. See, but there are some people that are just taken captive by the wicked, and they will return to fight with the true people of God. We've had dreams about that, too. Pretty interesting. My God is so good. He is so awesome. Well, back to our dream. You remember the red-headed girl that got her spanking, right? Well, the red-headed girl then looked over at a six-month-old baby boy who couldn't walk yet. Isn't this neat? He was dressed in a white shirt and black sweatpants. Sweat, of course, is works, flesh, right? Black is not walking purely before the Lord. Babies don't really know how to walk, so it's understandable that they do things. They kick and they scream, and you got to get a bottle and shove it in them, or mama, or whatever, you know. And but they don't know how to walk like Jesus walked yet. But God doesn't hold it against them, right? He was dressed in a white shirt, had a good heart, black sweatpants. So he was too immature, and I would say unknowledgeable, to walk in pure Christlikeness, but not in darkness. Kids find it very easily. They go astray as soon as they're born, the Bible says, you know. But James 4:17 says, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's a neat thing. God loves his little children, even though they're ignorant and they do foolish things. He loves his little children. With white socks, and his father was taking delight in him and flying him around like an airplane. In other words, the father was still friendly with this kid, even though this kid did not know how to walk with him. He still loved him. And he was laughing and chewing on his fingers from teething. Yeah, he's getting his teeth. Watch out now. And Jamie said, what about him? Why doesn't he get a spanking? And David said, because he is still a baby and can't walk yet. He doesn't know any better. You see, there's another side to this faction thing, and that is there are young people in the Lord, immature people in the Lord, like babies in the Lord, who were deceived by people that they trusted in too much. They didn't know enough about these things. And these people will find grace. They are just deceived. But they're going to find grace. People took advantage of their ignorance and lied to them and deceived them. But they're going to find grace. They'll get their eyes open. And they're not going to receive additional chastening like the little red-headed girl who knew better according to the Lord, her father. Right? Yeah, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. That's the person that's going to get the spanking. A lot of these little immature babies that fell into this have had enough spanking. The Lord's not going to give them any more. Praise be to God. He's going to deliver them instead. Then they'll know who their true enemy is. And Eve said, I had this dream on the 23rd of July, which I discovered from a previous dream. The number 23 means death. You know what death is, don't you? What is a spiritual death? It's when somebody is separated from their spirit. Their soul is separated from their spirit. Death is a separation of the spirit from the body. In this case, many are going to be separated from the demons, their spirit that's been driving them, that they thought was themselves and was not. And they'll be better before than before for their experience of humbling. Amen. People talk about others who have betrayed Christ and the lost who don't want to be around Christ because they look at Christians and they don't like that. They judge that. But guess what? When they end up denying the Lord, because whatsoever you've done to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. When they end up persecuting, being a traitor, and denying the Lord, it's going to bring a great humbling on them when they understand that they could do such an evil thing. And they'll be shamed and humbled. It's a Nebuchadnezzar experience. I shared with you, I think maybe before, how when I was young in the Lord, I had people that I respected as older in the Lord than myself. Even back in the Pentecostal church, there were friends of mine that I went to school with that had been in the Lord before me, and of course they had been in Pentecost and been filled with the Spirit and long before me. And I respected them. But I was hungry for God. I was doing something almost nobody around me was doing, and that was running after the Lord and seeking the Word, and that was, you know, getting filled with the Word of God. And when the Lord showed me that this Pentecost was not the ultimate in God, that there was more, a lot more, when he started showing me this, and even about their doctrines being wrong, about the rapture and things like that, when he started showing me this and I started sharing it with them, I began to become their enemy, and even the preacher's enemy, you know, and I was sharing things with them. And they, you know, very much disfellowshipped me. I learned a lot through these things. And I saw some of these brethren, after I was mistreated, fall away from the Lord. They were kind of proud and cocky and proud of what they had attained to, and how that their denomination was the only right one, and all these goofy things, you know, that people can be deceived into. They fell away from the Lord. And I was praying, I was asking the Lord, why did this happen to him, Lord? And he gave me that verse about Nebuchadnezzar, whose mind was turned over to a reprobate, and he ate the grass of the field, which is the flesh, according to Peter, for seven seasons until he knew that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. And how humbled he was. The Lord told me that they were going to be just like that. And I understood that he was humbling them by turning them over to the world, turning them back over to their worldly mind, because they had judged me and my brethren. And God was judging them for judging me. And I'm telling you, that's happening right now. Many people have been turned over to a reprobate mind because they judged me and other people like me and others around the world. It's happening. God is humbling. And it's interesting that she would say this at this time, death, and we find that death is being delivered of these spirits, a separation of the spirit from the body, because then she goes on to say, I asked Father for a verse or a text concerning this, and I receive Matthew 9:32-38. My finger was on verse 32. And as they went forth, behold, there was brought unto him a dumb man possessed with a demon. Now, there's a lot of dumb men out there possessed with demons. Yes, I know what dumb means. And when the demon was cast out, the dumb man spake. We know the demon's doing all the talking. But when they're cast out, the man can speak again. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, by the prince of the demons casteth he out demons. Well, you notice that the demons will be cast out by some, as Jesus said. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit, just as some are doing right now. Yes, I'm telling you, some are blaspheming the Holy Spirit because they are attributing the works of the Holy Spirit to the devil. And they have stepped over the line. Not all of them, but some of them have. And so it's interesting that the next verse that we were given after she pointed out that about the number 23 was, she was given the verse about demons being cast out of people. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. This was the next verse that she got, right? And healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. You know what's going to follow the casting out of these demons? Yep. A great revival. And do you know what the earthquakes are going to bring? Yep. A great revival. An awesome revival. A great move of the Spirit of God. You say, David, when is it? I'm anxious to see it. I am too. And I can't tell you the day or the hour, but I am too. I'm very anxious to see it. And the Lord keeps telling us about it. He's very proud of this thing because he keeps on talking about it. He keeps on telling us about it. Praise be to God. I know God is going to be so happy when he can bless his people. There are cycles that men go through. You know, God blesses them, and they end up proud and forgetting God. And so he brings judgment, and they're humbled, and they're put down. Then they cry out to God, and then he blesses them again. See, it's just a cycle. They never learn. Men never learn. They just keep going through this cycle. But for the overcomers, he said, they're going to be like a pillar in the temple of my God, and they're going to go out thence no more. That's not a bunch of people staying in a building. That's the true temple of God. They're never going to go out. They're going to be so stable that they're never going to go out. And abide in Jesus Christ, the temple of God, right? Hallelujah. So, Jesus, under this new anointing, went about in their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. Isn't that awesome? And of course, this is a sign and a wonder to the people who ran around getting everybody they could to come and listen to this Jesus, because they just saw these signs and wonders, right? But the man-child is going to do the same thing, because it is Jesus returning as an epiphany to do the same thing in a much larger body. That was his plan. He had to fall into the earth and die. He said a kernel of wheat just abides alone. But when it falls into the earth and dies, what does it do? It multiplies. Yes. Jesus is coming multiplied. The church isn't teaching anybody that because they don't know it. They only know the letter. They've never been filled with the Spirit in most cases, so they don't get word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment, these things that God gives when He speaks to people. To give them and He speaks to His children. You know, He speaks to people to give them wisdom that they couldn't possibly come up with, you know. I remember the first time when I was in that Pentecostal church and the Lord gave me a word of wisdom concerning the rapture, and it was totally different than everything they said. And I said, Lord, please send somebody to me to show me this exact thing. And I didn't know it, but he had a man over on the interstate that had just seen a vision of a sign that said 3 miles to 3 L's. And there were three of us. L's. Three of us. And they were 3 miles from me at the time. So he went on down the interstate, and him and his wife were in their motel room, and they asked the Lord, Lord, what church you want us to go to? His wife picked out one. He said, man, I don't like those churches. They're kind of Pharisees. And he was dead on, too. I mean, but he felt like the Lord was speaking. And so he went. And guess what? You know, in the area where I lived, there were zillions of churches. He came to my church. And his revelation came true, because from where he was on the interstate when he got that, it was 3 miles from my house. And so when he started telling them the exact same revelation about the rapture that the Lord told me, they came to me and said, hey, this guy over here is saying the same thing you told us. I said, well, get him and come on over here. Let's talk about this, you know. So they did. And my revelation was confirmed perfectly that the Lord gave me through word of knowledge. And another friend of mine, Skip, had a revelation too that was just given to him. He was waiting for a confirmation about the sons of God, and it was confirmed. And another brother, the same thing. He was waiting on a confirmation. He was a friend of mine named Don who was had been driving along in his car, and actually he turned his radio on, and the same preacher that was in the same church that I was in came on the radio and telling him he needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, Lord, if that's for me, I want it. And he started speaking in tongues. Then he had a vision of this man that was dressed in a certain way sitting in front of him telling him about the rapture, the truth about the rapture. Well, when he came to my house, the guy in the vision was this man. So here's three good friends waiting on a confirmation from the Lord for three different revelations, and it all showed up at one time. And so, you know, I was just full of the Word, and I was growing and outgrowing my religion, and God was giving me things, and He's going to do that for a lot of people. In the very near future, He's going to have to shake them first. Amen. And He was moved with compassion for them because they were distressed and scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. Let's do it, saints. Pray for it right now. We are near to a great move of the Spirit through the David Man Child Bride Ministries. Great move of the Spirit coming. And Father, we just ask you, Lord, to send forth laborers into your harvest, Lord. Bring multitudes into the kingdom. Give them the joy of the knowledge of your truth, Lord. So many people have loved your truths, Lord. Please come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Lord, set the captives free. Defend your righteous people, Lord, who have served you. Defend, chasten the rebellious and the wicked, Father, and deliver them from the demons that take advantage of them. Deliver our brethren, Father. We ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to do a quick work for our brethren. Set them free in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and we love you for all that you're doing for us. And we just appreciate everything that you're doing. We receive it in Jesus' name. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, saints. God bless you and keep you. And please pray for me and pray for the brethren. And pray that God deliver his people from bondage. In Jesus' name, God bless you.